You're listening to Paranormal Portal on Revolver Podcasts. Everybody, and welcome to the Paranormal Portal Podcast. I'm your host, Brent Thomas, and I'm absolutely thrilled you guys are here with us today, and hope you're all ready for 2020, which is just tomorrow. So the year just kind of burned through, and we made it. That's the good news, but I hope you guys have had a wonderful holiday season so far, and happy 2020, happy New Year's Eve to you all, and be safe out there if you're out celebrating tonight, or I guess you're going to hear this tomorrow, so never mind. I hope you're all safe. I hope you made it safe, I guess, is what I want to say through those celebrations. But welcome to the show, and I just want to see if you've got anything paranormal of your very own and you'd like to share it with us here on the show and potentially be a guest. Please reach out to us via email at paranormalportalradio@gmail.com. We'd love to have you on the show. It's just a great opportunity to hear firsthand from all of you guys out there that have had these incredible experiences. We can have a discussion, and it's just really my favorite part of the show. And I got a great show lined up for you tonight. I got Joe from Northern Michigan on, and he's going to share with us his many experiences, and he's had several. So this is going to be a wild ride. So buckle in, ladies and gentlemen. We're going in. Welcome to the show, Joe. How you doing, brother?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. I'm really excited that we finally got this ironed out and got you on the show to share your experiences. You know, you and I have had the opportunity to talk on our YouTube show and briefly, and that was really amazing. I'm really excited for you to share your experiences with our podcast audience, brother, because you've seen some incredible stuff.
Yeah, it's been a hell of a ride, that's for sure.
So I guess probably the best place to start is just, you know, what's the first encounter that you want to bring to the table?
All right, I'll start it off. Mm-hmm. One night, my grandpa, my friend, and I were two tracking at night. We were deep in the woods, and out of nowhere, on the side of the road, there was a girl with a red light on her head, like one of those bayou lights. Mm-hmm. It was very creepy. I had a feeling she was a ghost. I could see she had pale white skin. My grandpa and friend wanted me to stop, but I said F that and put the pedal to the floor and ripped through that two track. I got out of there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love Sasquatch and Dogman, but I just don't mess with ghosts.
Yeah. That's crazy stuff, man. Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty freaky, that's for sure. And I just kind of like opened up the door to having more experiences, I guess.
So let me ask you just quickly, Is that a known apparition in that area? Is that something that's that you've heard of happening in there before, or is this just out of the blue?
It was just out of the blue because we two track all the time. Like, that's what we do in Michigan. For fun, you know, just tear up the back roads.
Right. So by two track, you mean it's not really a road. It's just like two worn, where tires have been driving over the ground and made tracks, or what does that mean exactly?
It's more like just like dirt roads in the middle of the forest. Everyone in Michigan just calls it two tracks.
Okay.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. That's a term I wasn't quite familiar with, in when you had submitted what you wanted to share. And I was like, I thought that a two track would be like, you know, like those old wagon roads where there's like grass, but there's like two lines of dirt where the wagon wheels have like worn it down. So that's what I was thinking. But yeah, man, that's really intense. you didn't want to stop though.
No, I had to get out of there, man.
Well, that's probably the best thing. Now, I've never heard of an apparition with a blinking light on its head. I mean, that's very unusual. Did you definitely have the feeling it was a spirit and not perhaps something extraterrestrial or otherwise?
Yeah, I felt it was a spirit.
Okay. And you were the one there, so don't you know, I'm not trying to cast any doubts on what you experienced. I'm just trying to understand it because that is such an unusual event to see that light anomaly on top of an apparition. But it's really, I mean, it sounds amazing. In hindsight, it's amazing. At the time, it's probably absolutely terrifying. So
yeah, it was scary, man.
Oh man, I my hat's off to you though. But that's a cool thing because honestly, brother, there are people out there that are looking for this stuff their whole lives, and they will never see an apparition. They will never see an actual manifestation. They may catch some activity, but you know, you kind of experience the holy grail of all researchers. So. Yeah. So count yourself as fortunate that it all worked out okay and you saw something like that. That's really intense. But I don't mean to interrupt your flow. I know you've written these down because you're nervous, and that's okay. But just to let everybody else know that these are Joe's experiences. These are not scripted in any way. He has just written them down so that he can get through it. He's a bit nervous. So we'll just keep rolling forward, brother.
All right. On to the next one. All right. One day, my brother, one of my friends, and me were on the way to town from my mom's house. We took the back way. We took a dirt road that goes into town. My brother was looking up at the sky and was like, "Hey, do you guys see those three orange saucers in the sky?" We all looked up. All of us seen them. I pulled the car over on the side of the road. We all stared up at them. They were moving really slow. Then all of a sudden, they darted across the sky and disappeared.
Man, that's so cool.
It was pretty awesome. I love that one.
That is really cool. Now, there was three orange. Were they saucer-shaped, you said?
Yes.
Okay. Now, see, I have actually witnessed a UFO myself. And I've shared it on the shows, and you perhaps have heard it since you've listened to many of the shows. But it was a saucer shape as well, and you don't hear about as many of those anymore. So I was really thrilled to hear that you saw saucers as well because, you know, it seems like everything is like orbs or triangles now. And so to hear of an actual saucer sighting outside of my own, I was really excited about because I assume that, you know, I guess my thinking is that these different, there's many people that believe we have many different races that are visiting our planet, not just a single extraterrestrial civilization. And so it makes sense that if there is extraterrestrial civilizations from spread around the cosmos, that their vehicles would probably not look identical. They would be something that is unique to each culture that's visiting us, if that is the case. And so saucers, I think, are really exciting because I think that's kind of where it all started back back when those sightings of saucers over Washington back in the 50s and stuff, you know, I think it was the 50s. But yeah, I mean, there's the classic sightings were all the saucers. And then lately it's like cigars and triangles and orbs. So that's a really unique thing. How far away would you suppose they were?
I'd say kind of like how you'd see an airplane up in the sky, but they're like more closer than that, you know.
And was it a bright glow or was it more subdued?
More subdued.
Okay, gotcha. And they just were in uniform, huh?
Yeah, really weird, but we all were like, man, that's so cool after it happened.
See, now that's when you can celebrate, right? Because it's so far away. It's like, yeah, that's no problem. Now, do you think, is it possible that they were part of the same craft? Or do you think that they were flying independently of each other as if they were three different craft?
I think they're flying independently. That's what it looked like.
Okay. Yeah, I was just kind of curious because oftentimes people have referred to those triangle shapes or the orbs, but they're flying in a triangle shape. And I've often wondered, well, maybe they're just the same. They're just different drives of part of the same craft. But, yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. I'll never forget.
Have you gone looking again since then?
No, I haven't.
No? Do you have any desire to, or do you think that was just kind of a one-off again?
Oh, I'd like to, man. I'm really interested in UFOs.
Yeah? Okay. Yeah, me too. I don't research them a whole lot, you know, which is probably stupid because where I had my sighting was in the actual area that I moved to and live. I saw the UFO prior to moving out here by about a year, at least many months. And what I saw was it was right above the pine trees. It was just I could only see it in night vision. It did not appear in normal vision. When I lowered the night vision binoculars, I couldn't see anything. But I put up the night vision binoculars, and there it was, blinking lights, and then a saucer floating about 100 yards to 150, maybe 200 yards. I don't know. Distances are tough because it was through binoculars, but they're only 4 or 5 power binoculars, so it wasn't really huge magnification. But it was just right there, plain as day. But when I lowered the binoculars, it didn't exist. It wasn't there. And when I raised them, it was there. Lowered them, it was not there. So it was just the most incredible thing ever. And then I was like, okay, I'm good. I'm going to go to bed now because this is as real as I need it to be. I don't need any probing or anything.
Yeah. Oh, no.
So
that's crazy, man. They must have some kind of cloaking mechanism.
That's what I thought. That's kind of what I was thinking. It's like, you know, and I guess that's what made me believe, because I'm sure you've heard of the controversy of the breakaway space program where our black projects have developed UFOs of their very own. And when I first saw it, I was like, well, you know, could this be ours or is it theirs? But once I realized that it wasn't visible except in night vision, I was like, no, that's definitely not ours. Because, well, I mean, you know, I suppose if they can develop UFOs, if that is true, then maybe they could develop active cloaking technology too. But it just seemed to me like it was way beyond the scope of our ability.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really intense. But I'm glad you saw something too, brother, because, again, you know, you seem to be tuned to this stuff because, you know, you've seen an apparition, like plain as day. You've seen UFOs. And, you know, I mean, that's two incredible experiences that people, again, look their whole life for and may never see.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right, brother, what's next?
All right. One summer night outside my mom's house, which is surrounded by the forest, my grandpa, my brothers, one of my friends, and me were outside drinking beer by a bonfire. We all heard what sounded like a tree snap in half. We all kind of just ignored it. Then it sounded like a bigger tree snap from the other side of the forest. This happened about 3 or 4 times before my brother and friend got tired of it. Thinking someone was out there messing with us, they went to the tree line and yelled, "F you, you mother effer." Then what sounded like a big tree snapped in half right where they were yelling at. They went running to the house. The rest of us followed inside. None of us could figure out what it was that could do that. A year later is when I started listening to Sasquatch Chronicles and figured it had to be a pack or family of Sasquatches.
Yeah, I think you're right. Especially when it comes to breaking trees. I mean, that's a whole lot of strength. That's just such a considerable amount of strength.
Yeah, especially right outside my mom's house.
Right. Now, what kind of trees are those? Do you know? Or
pine trees mostly.
Okay, which is a softer wood, but still, they are. They can't be easy to break.
Yeah, and there's hardwoods there too. I just don't know the names of them.
Sure. No, I got you. That's really interesting. So was there activity around there before?
Not that I've ever heard of.
Okay. That's cool. It's still really cool. So you've had apparitions, you've had UFOs, and you've had close encounters with Sasquatch. That's amazing. I mean, you've covered all the bases pretty much, brother.
Yeah.
That's the trifecta right there.
I also got one more Sasquatch encounter, too.
Oh, by all means, brother. Take it away.
In the early spring, my mom and I took a two-track to the Manistee River. When we got there, I opened the car door and heard wood knocks. We were the only car there. I asked my mom if she could hear it too. She said yes. She didn't want to get out of the car, so I did, because I was curious. I started walking towards the river from the parking area, and the closer I got, the more I got this feeling that maybe this is a bad idea. The wood knocks were getting louder. I started feeling this overwhelming sense of dread. From being a listener of Sasquatch Chronicles, I suspected it was a Bigfoot, and I started thinking, I'm by myself. If I get to where me and this creature see each other, what's stopping it from killing me right there or dragging me away? So I decided to walk back to the car. Then we left. Kind of regret not taking a chance and getting to see it, though.
Yeah, I know, but that's such a roll of the dice, you know?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, those are, in my opinion, those kind of posturings are very territorial. That's them saying, hey, you know, we're here and there's all of us here and we don't want you here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like them telling, all right, you better go away now or something's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, I think that, you know, they're an incredibly intelligent being, but I think that, you know, if they're pushed, they would, you know, they'll become... they can become more aggressive, a lot more aggressive. Excuse me. Yeah. Sorry. Just had to shovel snow before this, so I'm all kind of froggy. We just got dumped on out here, so it's a lot of fun here in the Pacific Northwest.
Oh, man, I'm down the Gulf Coast now, and it's like 65 today.
Just shut up. clicking. I think we got disconnected. No, I'm happy for you, brother. I wish we were someplace warm like that as well. But it's beautiful. But man, it's tough. So now with the Bigfoot, do you think that they do attack people? I know you and I were gonna have a discussion about this as well because and I'm really curious to hear what you think is going on with these things. But first of all, did you have another story you wanted to cover, or was that them?
Well, that's all for the Bigfoot, yeah.
Okay. So what do you think they are? I'm kind of taking a play from the Wes Grimmer playbook here, but...
Gotta love Wes.
Absolutely. He's a great guy.
I think Sasquatch is an ancient flesh and blood creature with supernatural characteristics. I once heard Les Stroud say one mind spoke to him, a normal animal definitely ain't gonna do that. That's supernatural.
Yeah.
You usually hear about the balls of light in the forest a lot, too, when you hear about Sasquatch. Mm-hmm. They could also be a descendant from the Nephilim, but no one knows for sure.
Yeah. Well, that's true. That is very true. And you know, the thing about it is that nobody knows. Nobody knows. So any idea or any theory or hypothesis about these things is as valid as any other. There's some people that think that they're extraterrestrial. There's some people that think they're just an ape. There's other people that think that they're these ascended kind of masters of the forest. I mean, there's so many ideas out there, and obviously they can't all be right. But, you know, it seems to me they seem to be capable of things that we can't yet understand. Now, being that we do the paranormal on the show, I mean, it really opens your eyes when you're discussing all these different phenomena. But I'll tell you, my idea of these things has really evolved because through the years of doing the show and through the years of talking to people and hearing them describe these events with what I assume is complete candor and openness, I don't think that they're fabricating these stories. I think they have actually seen something that really they can't understand. And, you know, the being itself, I think, is incredibly big and imposing. But I think people really are seeing them perform some kind of weird acts and able to do things that we just can't understand. I don't know what that means, but I don't know. It makes me think that maybe they're... maybe they are really transdimensional.
Yeah, they could be.
Yeah, I don't know.
I kind of feel like some of them are good, some of them are bad, just like people, you know?
Yeah.
Because on Sasquatch Chronicles, there was one story where one of them pulled a young boy out of the swamp, I think it was, saved his life.
Oh, yeah.
So
I love those kind of stories because it's, you know, it just shows there is a compassion there. But I think that most of the time when you hear stories like that, it sounds like it's in the stories that I have heard that are like this. I don't know if this story is necessarily the same, but it sounds like the females are the ones that do all that. The males are less likely to help out. It seems.
Yeah. It seems like the males are more aggressive, I guess.
Yeah. And rightfully so. I think that they are, you know, obviously they take the role of protector and guardian and keeping their family unit safe. So it makes sense to me that they are not as compassionate and stuff because they're dealing with all the threats. But I always think that's fascinating. I've heard stories of a child getting lost in the woods when they were up hiking. And he was hopelessly lost, like quite a ways away from the campground. And so he just, kind of crumpled into a ball and started crying. He was like 5 or 6 years old. And he remembers this big, hairy woman, what he thought was a woman. And I think he described her as having breasts, came up and held his hand and walked him back to the campground and then kind of shushed him out into the campground area where his family was. And then he turned around and she was gone, of course. But I mean, those kind of acts are just so incredibly profound and wonderful. But then again, you hear of, you know, lobbing logs at people, and 50 pound rocks coming through the air like they're softballs, you know. It's like, wow. So there seems to be a real spectrum. But I think it's almost gender related, to be honest.
That's true. I feel the same.
Yeah. That's amazing, brother. That's a lot of different experiences you've had. Are you intending on researching anymore or getting into the research aspect? Or is it just kind of...
When I move back to Michigan, I want to, because down here it seems like there ain't really nothing, man. It's like the least state, least likely to see a UFO, you know, least likely for a lot of things. So
sure.
I just, you know, don't see it happening down here, but you never know.
Yeah, I think that, in the swampy areas, I think there's a lot of things out there. I don't know if Mississippi has the swampy areas like Louisiana does, but, I mean, you're right in that neck of the woods, the Rougarou and all that stuff. So,
yeah, Louisiana is only about, like, half hour away, too, and swamps are pretty close.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, I think it's an incredible thing, you know. I really do. And I plan to get out a lot more too for the show and try to do more field work because I think it's a great opportunity to share with all of the listeners and watchers, people watching on the YouTube channel, what's out there and what you look for. And not that I'm any kind of expert, but I think that this is absolutely fascinating. It's one thing to sit back and just talk, but it's another thing to get out there and just do some, you know, active investigating. And when we have done it, people seem to really have enjoyed it. So that's definitely a plan for 2020 on the portal for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I really love to see a Sasquatch one day, but I'd like to be in a group, though, not by myself.
Well, that's it. And, you know, getting back to that story where you took it upon yourself to walk towards that noise, I really think you made the right decision. And as much as you may kick yourself about it, I think if it would have gone south, it would have gone way south, you know. And I mean, it's just one of those things. I don't know if that makes sense, but I mean, if a situation like that goes bad, it's going to be horrible, you know, and it could be incredibly dangerous. And I think being curious is a great thing and all, but I don't think you can forego safety. And quite honestly, we just don't know anything about these beings. So, I mean, if you approach, you could be on the menu.
It'd be like, oh, Joe's gone. Never see him again.
We got meat on the menu, like Lord of the Rings, you know. So, I'm glad that that's the choice you made, because I don't think you can be too careful when you're dealing with an unknown. We have a tendency to try to humanize things, and make them human. But, you know, and it kind of goes back to what Wes says, you know, I mean, would you go up and try to pet a grizzly? And it's like, no, you wouldn't. Nobody would. So, you know, with as little as we know about these things, I think the further they are away is probably the better, but it would be neat to understand them more.
Yes, it definitely would, man.
Yeah. Well, that's excellent, brother. That's really cool. Did you have anything else you wanted to bring to the table?
Yeah, I got that one story that happened that I actually told on your YouTube channel.
Okay, well, just hold that thought. We're going to take a quick break, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll be right back with Joe from Northern Michigan, and he's going to get into his other story here. So we'll be right back. Don't go away. Hey guys, Brent Thomas here of the Paranormal Portal Podcast. We just wanted to take a moment to introduce you to the Paranormal Portal store. We've got t-shirts, hoodies, leggings, stickers, mugs, you name it, you might find it over there. So head on over to teespring.com/stores/paranormal-portal, and you too can help fund the Paranormal Portal Podcast. Thank you so much for all that you do, and thank you for being a part of our Paranormal Portal family. Everybody, and we are back here on the Paranormal Portal, and tonight we got a great show. We're talking to Joe here on the show, and Joe's had an incredible array of experiences in the paranormal. He's been through pretty much all of it. I don't think you've missed too much, Joe, but let's get back into it, brother.
Back in June of 2018, my fiance and me were car camping at Five Lakes. We took the back way to Five Lakes, which you have to take a two-track miles into the woods and down a big hill to get to it. We were fishing and smoking some medical. I mean, it is Michigan, right?
Okay.
Around dusk, we stopped fishing and we're just hanging out with each other. I started hearing a rustling sound on top of the hill. I didn't hear any vehicles and I didn't see any lights. It seems as if the whole woods went silent. A feeling in my gut told me to get in the car. So I told my fiance, hey, let's get in the car. By that time, there was no more light outside. A few minutes later, we heard something big walking around the car. It sounded like it was dragging chains. We could feel the ground shake from its weight. We felt like something was staring us in the face through the car window. The windows were tinted, and it was so dark we couldn't see anything. A few minutes later, even though it felt like an eternity, the sound stopped. We then went to sleep in the car. We got up the next morning, looked around the car, didn't see any footsteps, drag marks from the chains, nothing.
Hmm. That's incredible. I remember you sharing that one, and it still has me scratching my head because you're not seeing any evidence of something having been out there, but you felt and heard that something very clearly was out there.
Yes, it was. That was probably the freakiest of all my experiences, to be honest.
Yeah.
We were just sitting ducks there, man. It was scary.
Well, you know, I think the thing that surprises me the most is that you were able to get back to sleep after that, you know?
Right.
I don't know. That's pretty brave because I think I would have been staying awake until daybreak at least so you could see what the hell's going on.
Exactly. My fiance is also right next to me. Do you mind if she says a few things?
No, by all means, please.
I don't know what to say about it.
Well,
I've never experienced anything like that before.
Yeah.
Like, I'm from Virginia, the ocean. You know, we don't have those kind of things happening.
Yeah.
It was I was terrified, but I don't know. I couldn't see it. I wish that I would have seen it, honestly.
Do you? Like,
I wish, because I think it'd be really cool, but I think I would have regretted seeing it. I think I would have been way more afraid seeing it than actually, you know, hearing it. But I think I would have liked to see it, too. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's one of those things you can't unsee it after it's happened, you know?
Exactly. Like, I wouldn't be able to unsee it.
Yeah, you'd be stuck with it.
After that, it was, I don't know, it was interesting.
But now, did it surprise you when you guys got out the next day and didn't see any tracks or anything?
Oh, yeah, it surprised me. Because I felt like I could feel it. Like, I could feel it walking around. I felt like there should have been something there, you know? Like, there should have been drag marks. There should have been footprints. But there was nothing. And I think that's what freaked me out the most. Was there was no tracks, no marks, nothing.
Yeah, that's really creepy.
And then I thought maybe, you know, it got stuck in, like, a trap or something. Because that's what I said to him, too. I was like, well, maybe it got stuck in a trap.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what was dragging. But there wasn't even, you know, if you get stuck in a trap, you think there'd be blood. But there even wasn't any blood either. Like, there wasn't anything.
Right. Now, Nothing. Is there a lot of trapping in northern Michigan?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. And are people trapping wolves and stuff up there?
I think that's illegal, actually, to trap wolves because
they're
going extinct. They actually airlifted wolves from Canada to the UP.
Oh, did they? Okay.
Repopulate, yeah.
Oh, nice. Okay. Gotcha. No, I what do you think it was? I mean, you covered it on the show, but I just want to let you have a chance to say.
I'm not sure.
I feel like it was a dog, man.
Okay.
That's what he told me that, and I was like, what's that? I have no idea what that is. Like, I'd never heard of that before.
Uh-huh.
Like, ever. And he's like, a dog man. And he, like, showed me, like, the legend online. And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, I had no idea.
Because the first ever dog man reported experience was at the Manistee River. And that wasn't that far from there either.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they're out there. I really do. And, of course, all over Wisconsin and Ohio has their share of reports. In fact, we had talked to Linda Godfrey several times on the show, and she said that they in her research, they seem to follow waterways. Like, that's their main mode of traversing, you know, geography is just to follow waterways. So if you have a waterway, it's very possible that they can be at any time passing through. You know, she didn't say that part, but that's my summation of it, is that they seem to require water. Like, whereas a Bigfoot can be in a desert and stuff, you don't really hear too much of that. Although I will say that dogmen are reported a lot by the Border Patrol, allegedly down on the U.S.-Mexico border. There's some crazy experiences coming out of there. You know, I've not interviewed any of those people directly, but I've certainly heard the stories, and it's enough to chill your blood in your veins. It's like, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The weird thing is, man, that I've been camping at that lake my whole entire life, and I've never had anything happen to me until that one night.
I was there.
Yeah, first time that I bring her there.
She's like dog man bait.
Here we go.
Aw. Well, you know, I think that the curious thing is the chains for me. Now, before you had told that story on the YouTube, I'd never heard of that correlation. But of course, after you had called in, we had another gentleman call in, and he was like, "Oh yeah, yeah, it comes up. People hear chains," and that to me is really bizarre. And I don't know a whole lot about dogmen, other than the things that I've been able to, you know, just find here and there. I've never done any real deep research on it, but. You know, of course, there's the theory that perhaps there's a program that developed these kind of beings. And I don't know if that could be true or not. I just don't pretend to know. I just know that that's out there. But if they are indeed dragging chains, well, those chains had to come from somewhere.
Exactly, man. Like, did they, like, I have no idea.
Did they escape? Did they?
Yeah.
You know, locked up and escaped. Like, me and him had that conversation. Like, I asked him, I was like, do you think that maybe it was, like, tied up somewhere or something? And he's like, I don't know.
Right. You know, and that's what I'm thinking. It's like, did it break away? Was it able to pull, you know, free the chain from whatever was binding it? And, you know, it's kind of stuck with it, you know, being a part of its person, because I don't know if it's a collar or if it's a shackle around one of its limbs or whatever. But, you know, it seems to me that other than a spiritual thing, you know, spirits and chains, of course, come up a lot. But, you know, again, I don't know about the land, but I do know that the Upper Peninsula of Michigan is, you know, a lot of reports are coming out of there about dogmen.
Yeah, and most experiences with dogmen, you hear that they just try to scare people, and they're pure evil, man. That's what I think.
Right, and you know what else comes up is that they'll get right up in your face about it. Like a Bigfoot will generally keep its distance. It may bluff charge and stuff, but I've heard several encounters with dogmen where they're like literally feet away, you know, looking at people and, you know, like they want to eat their face.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. I just feel like if I would have got out of that car that night, seen a dog, man, I would never go in the woods ever again.
Right.
I ruined it.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And there again, that's another thing where if it's already posturing for territory and you get out, then you're challenging it directly. I mean, that's, you know, kind of a bad move as far as I can see, because you don't want to challenge something that's like 7-8 feet tall, you know, several hundred pounds of muscle and claws and fangs, you know.
Hold on, sir.
Oh, no. Uh-oh. Oh, no.
what's that?
Oh, I was saying to the dog, man. Oh, no, I'm going to challenge him.
I heard the missus say, oh, hold on, sir.
Oh, she was talking to her dad.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Okay. Off work.
But yeah, I think that, you know, they are an incredibly... To me, they're the most dangerous thing out there. And not that, you know, there's the old saying, who would win, a Bigfoot or a dogman? And I honestly don't know, because I think they both have such formidable ability. And, you know, and like the dogman is totally armored in teeth and claws. And the Bigfoot is so huge and strong and potentially has these supernatural abilities. You know, I don't know who would win, but in either case, I wouldn't want to see either of them mad.
Yeah, it could go either way, man. Like,
right.
No telling.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I've heard the reports going both ways. I've heard that, you know, dogmen have chased Bigfoot out of areas, and then I've heard of Bigfoot, you know, tearing apart dogmen. So I don't know. And perhaps there's a clan wars of some kind. I don't know. I've heard both ways. I've heard that they generally, from what I understand, they don't generally mix. Like, they'll have territories next to each other, but it's almost like a pact. They know to stay out of each other's territories.
Yeah, man, all I know is I'd rather mush run into a Bigfoot any day than a dog, man.
Yeah, no, it's true. I think, you know, something, if it's going to be a big something, it looking more human-like, I think, is preferable to looking at a werewolf in the face, you know, which is what I've heard them described as. It's just like in the Underworld movies with Kate Beckinsale, is that, you know, there's many eyewitnesses that say that's what they look like.
Mm-hmm. And have you ever listened to Dogman Encounters by Vic Cundiff?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've listened to a lot of Vic Cundiff. I think he's done a really good job. He's been at it for a long time and has really done quite a bit. Short of, you know, I think Linda Godfrey kind of put it on the map. And Vic Cundiff has done a great job of continuing to, you know, report on it and bring things to, you know, to everybody, the population, you know, about what these things are up to. I know he's got a lot of people on his shows, and you know, if there's that many encounters going on out there, they're really not as rare as I once thought.
Yeah, I agree. I think most people probably just don't talk about it because they're like, who's going to believe me? So,
right. Yeah. You know, I got to say that's probably true. I mean, I think, you know, for all of the guff that this show took, not the Paranormal Portal, but the show I'm referring to is Finding Bigfoot. All the guff they took, what they did really accomplish was creating the discussion in a public way. And suddenly people are coming out of the woodwork. And I think Wes Germer was really instrumental in this as well. Just, you know, letting people have an approach, a way to discuss it. Because I think that, you know, for a lot of people, they had no choice but to carry this stuff in silence, or else be branded a weirdo, you know?
Yeah, and then that just eats you up inside, man.
Right, but the Dogman, I think, is still on the fringe because it's never had that same... I mean, it's kind of gotten in on the coattails of Bigfoot into the public forum, but I think it would probably take its own show or its own, you know, mainstream exposure in order to really get it out there and to, you know, let people know that, hey, this is out there too. I think that, I don't know, have you ever watched the videos by How to Hunt, Steve Isdall? He's up in British Columbia, Canada, and he's a hunting guide, and he does big game hunts and stuff. But if you get a chance, check out his YouTube channel, because, you know, and he's kind of, you know, he's a bit in conflict with a lot of the established Bigfoot community. But I think what he's bringing to the table is great, and he's got a lot of people writing to him too. And what is interesting is that if you take and, you know, Vic Cundiff does a Bigfoot show as well. I've not listened to that.
Eyewitness Radio.
Yeah, I have not listened to that. But you consider that. You consider the people that have shared on my show and Duke's show and Tony Merkel's show, The Confessionals, and dozens of others. And then you consider Wes's show. And if there are this many people having these encounters, then perhaps these things are not nearly as rare as we once thought.
Yeah, I agree, man. I love The Confessionals, man. Tony's a real cool guy. I'm always on his live chats on Instagram.
Yeah, Tony's really, really cool. Wes and Tony are both really fantastic guys and have, you know, really done a lot for helping to put the portal on the map. So I'm just really honored to know both of them. They've been really selfless in helping us get up there. But, you know, he does a great job, and Wes does a great job. But the thing is there's so many reports coming up, and they're not like repeats of each other. You know, these are all seem to be pretty original reports for the shows that they're on. And, you know, I don't know. I suppose it's possible that people, some people are just embellishing and making stuff up just to be on the radio or for whatever reasons. But if you consider that and you think about what if only 1% of those encounter stories are real, and I think most of them are. I think that Wes and Tony do a good job vetting those, and I'm sure Vic does as well. But, and I on our show will never let anybody come on that I don't believe. But where was I going with this? If only 1% of the stories were true, just for the sake of argument, that's still an incredible example of some amazing events going on around us that traditional science and culture does not even acknowledge.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. I don't know why they don't.
Right. That's the part that I don't understand either. It's like, it's such a part of our culture, and obviously it's a widespread phenomena. In fact, the only state that doesn't have Bigfoot reports that I know of is Hawaii. So everywhere it's happening, and this includes Canada and Mexico. I've heard of things out of South America as well, and of course abroad, the Yowie, the Yeren, and a whole bucket load of other things. Hell, I even had guys on from the Irish Bigfoot Research Organization, and that's Ireland. That's an island. And they apparently have Bigfoot or, you know, something similar there. So this is obviously a global phenomenon. And I don't know what the purpose is of not acknowledging it. But it's certainly concerning, because if these things are going on out there, and this is kind of where Steve Isdall is coming from with the How to Hunt program on YouTube. He says, you know, if these things are out there, people should know. People should know what's in these woods and forests and stuff. It's really a great disservice to not let people know these things are out there.
I agree, man. I definitely feel like the government is covering up. I don't know why, but they have to be.
Right. Well, you know, and I've heard those reports many, many times as well. And I think they have to at least have a knowledge of them. I don't know if I can't know enough to know that they're actively covering it up, but I think they're definitely in deniability or denying it, for whatever reason. And I don't understand that, but I've heard arguments from everything of the lumber industry to habitat issues that suddenly lots of lands would become protected. And I've heard, you know, all kinds of nefarious ideas that are attached to a potential government cover-up. And, you know, whether it is or not, I can't claim to know, but it does seem odd that all of these everyday people are experiencing this stuff, but our government, with all its technology and all its ability and all of its potential, could not, you know, just aim a satellite somewhere and just start watching them.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%.
Yeah, I mean, it would they could probably in an afternoon find them. Find family groups and sit and watch them and, you know, figure out how to surveil them. And you can get some incredible research done and to understand what these are. But yeah, not that we're ever going to drill down through it all on the portal here. But I think it's definitely an interesting discussion because, you know, there's a lot going on in this world that apparently there's no official acknowledgement for. Well, obviously there's no official acknowledgement, but I just have to wonder why. Why isn't there?
I wonder that too.
Yeah. But I am also encouraged by, you know, people like Jeff Meldrum and several mainstream scientists now getting involved and at least allowing the question to be raised on a more, public forum.
Have you seen the new Expedition Bigfoot show?
No, I haven't. I don't really watch any TV because I'm so busy with the portal. But I'd love to see it because I do enjoy those shows. And I know a lot of people, you know, get really crappy about, oh, there's just a bunch of bunk. These guys don't know what they're doing. But that's the Bigfoot community at large. But have you watched it?
Yeah, it's pretty good. But one thing I know they're doing wrong is putting up trail cams trying to catch it, because even Wes says trail cams are what you put on your property if you want to get rid of them. So I'm like, yeah, you're doing it wrong. You should get Wes on the show.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and that's true, because they do definitely seem to have no trouble seeing the infrared light spectrum, because people can have sensors out that use infrared, and once they're triggered, they will, you know, obviously turn on your floodlights and stuff. And they know exactly how close to come to not trigger that sensor. And that to me is incredible.
They're a lot smarter than most people give them credit for.
Right. Yep. Exactly. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. I don't think they'll ever be like, you know, fixing our transmissions or, you know, building houses, but they are a different, you know, they're smart in their own realm, in their own universe, you know, in terms of understanding their world and how they fit into it. They are in perfect balance with everything that they're, you know, that is in their world. And I think we could sure learn a lot about them, or learn a lot from them, rather.
They're definitely kings of the forest.
Yeah, exactly. No question about it, brother. But I really thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate the conversation. I appreciate you sharing your thoughts and ideas. It really means a lot to me that you came on the show.
Thank you for having me, Brent. It was a good time, man. I'm a big time supporter. And I love the show.
Well, keep it up. Thank
Don't
you,
ever brother. Stop, man.
No, I'm not going to stop. But, it's actually, you know, people like you that are coming on that are making the show amazing. I pretty much just turned on the lights and you guys make it incredible. But thank you a lot. I appreciate it. And I hope you have an amazing New Year's Eve, brother.
Yeah, you too, man. Just don't drink too much.
Well, dude, thank you so much for being here. And, let me know if you get some more activity and you want to come on. We'll definitely discuss it.
Yeah, I definitely will, man. Thanks for having me on the portal.
All right, brother. Take care.
You too.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for joining us here on tonight's show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Please feel free to follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/paranormalportalradio. As well as finding us on Twitter. We're on Twitter at Paranormal Portal, P-O-R-T-L. And we'd love to have you stop by our YouTube page and subscribe and check out our shows there. We got hundreds of shows in our vault of journeys into the paranormal portal. So I hope you'll check it out, guys. We're over there at youtube.com/paranormalportal. So hope to see you guys soon. We'll be back, of course, for more podcasts in the coming days. So stay tuned. But we love you all. Be good, be kind, be nice. Take care of each other. Help each other out. Find the magic in every day and remember to laugh as much as you can. Take care, everybody.
Betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Martin, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.